Chof Aleph Sivan, Thursday the 23rd of June, Rabbi Yohanan Ziskin, Moshe Rabbeinu, David HaMelech, Koirach, How to Become a True Manik.
Parshas Koirach. Vayikach Koirach ben Yisro ben Koz ben Levi. Vayikach Koirach. So Rashi stels on the word Vayikach. Rashi analyzed the word Vayikach. What did Koirach take? And Rashi has famous Mahalach. He took himself in order to argue and fight with Moshe Rabbeinu. Some believe Vayikach Korach, he took Doson and Aviram, Ben Eliyahu, Voin, Ben Peles, Ben Reuven, he took people with him to join his side of the story. Perhaps just we can suggest maybe another pshat in the Vayikach Korach. But before we do that, let's just analyze a little bit what we're talking about here. We're talking about Korach is arguing with Moshe Rabbeinu, and basically he's challenging Moshe Rabbeinu on his leadership. Not only that, he's claiming that Moshe Rabbeinu took the kahuna that for Aaron's brother. Moshe Rabbeinu is taking too much covet, Moshe Rabbeinu is too much authority. Why is he the leader? Kolo ulam kulam kadoshim, the kolo edo kulam kadoshim. Everybody is holy, everybody has a right to something. What is this Moshe Rabbeinu taking all this authority and this leadership? And Moshe Rabbeinu even had a din of a melech as well. Why is he taking this all for himself? So I thought perhaps on this note to speak just a little bit about Moshe Rabbeinu, perhaps one aspect of Moshe Rabbeinu, and one or two other manhigim, and let's see what we can learn from it. You know, in Parshas Matos, there it says that Vaydaben Moshe, and Moshe Rabbeinu spoke to Klal Yisrael, and he said, "Zeh hadovar asher tzivo Hashem." This is the matter that HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded us. The Rashi over there says, now this is the interesting lashon for Moshe Rabbeinu to speaking Zeh Hadovar. This is the thing. And Rashi points out that this is a lashon of nevius, a way to let us know how Moshe Rabbeinu is giving over his prophecy from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Rashi points out that we don't find this expression by other prophets. Zeh Hadovar. We find Koyomar Hashem, other lashonis. But Zeh Hadovar is something special to Moshe Rabbeinu, that Moshe Rabbeinu had a higher madrega of nevuah, higher level of nevuah. Zeh Hadovar, Rashi in many places says the word Zeh means that you can point to it with your finger and point to it. Oh, this is the thing. A sort of clarity, something sitting in front of my eyes, I can see it very clearly, and I can point to it and can say, this is the thing I'm talking about. So there's a certain clarity, a certain higher level in prophecy in the nevuah that Moshe Rabbeinu had. So if we just look at Parshas Bahaloischos, two weeks ago, then we have a bit clearer about the nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe Rabbeinu's level. And that says that Miriam did not understand the level of her brother Moshe, how great he was in his nevuahs. So just two psukim, the pasuk says like this. Vayomer, so Akshmorch is speaking. Akshmorch is telling Aaron and Miriam, Shimon Odvorai, Im Yiyu Niviachem Hashem, if there will be Nevi'im of Hashem, Bamara Elov Esvado, in a vision, to him I will appear. Bachaloim Adaber Boy, in a dream I will speak with him. Loichein Avdi Moshe, it's not so with Moshe Rabbeinu, V'chol Beisi Ne'emanu. Pe el pe adaber boy, mouth to mouth I will speak in him, umare veloy bechidois, with a vision and not with riddles. Usmunas Hashem yabit, and Moshe Rabbeinu can look at the picture, let's say, of HaKadosh Baruch. So the Ruach Chaim, the Chaim Volozhin on Pirkei Avos makes a few diyukim, a few honesty on these psukim. First of all, he says the words Im Yiyeh Neviyachem. What does it mean? If there will be Neviim of Hashem, what exactly the word Bamare, Bamaro, Elov Esvado, Bamaro? And then he tells on the interesting. He says like this: B'chaloim Adaber Boy. In a dream, I was a regular prophet. In a dream, I will speak Boy. A boy means in him. It doesn't say B'chaloim Adaber Imoy. In a dream, I will speak with him. In a dream, I will speak Boy. Sounds like it's saying in him or through him. And then by Moshe Rabbeinu says a similar notion, pe el pe adaber boy. Mouth to mouth I will speak in him, not with him. It would seemingly be better to say, I speak with him, Peel peel, with him. But it doesn't say that in the pasuk. The pasuk says adaber boy, which means within him. And then umar e v'loy bichidos. Mar'e, before it says b'mar'o elov, and b'mar'e v'loy bichidos. It also says the difference between mar'o and mar'e. A bit of a different lashon, a vision. What is this vision here? So we all know what's referred to many places in we speak about these ideas, aspaklaria hameira and the aspaklarial she'ein meira. Yeah, aspaklaria, maybe a vision, a kind of seeing of higher spiritual ruchnistic things, is all neviim prophesized and gave neviim within aspaklaria she'ein meira, some sort of vision which wasn't so shining or so clear. Moshe Rabbeinu, he could see from Aspaklari HaMe'iro. He had a very clear vision. So, Reb Chaim Volozhin explains a little bit the difference. Bamar'o can be referred to a mirror. A mirror, a mirror, has something at the back blocking it so that you can see a reflection through that glass. A normal glass, if you can see directly through 100%, then there's no reflection of it. You see straight through it. And he wanted to say that's the difference between A regular Novi. A regular Novi was a spaklaria she'ein mirror. It wasn't so clear. It was like a mar, or a little bit like a mirror, a little bit reflective. You couldn't see completely. You couldn't see a clear vision. Moshe Rabbeinu mar'e was a vision, a clear, something very clearly that he could see. Then he says, we know another Mama Chazal. Chazal tells us that Shechina medaberes mitoich groinu shel Moshe. The Shechina was speaking from the throat of Moshe Rabbeinu. Shechina medaberes mitoich groinu. From his throat, the Shechina was speaking. What does that mean? Again, it means that there's some sort of the Nevi'ah wasn't just Moshe Rabbeinu relating something that he sees. It actually is coming forth from the Novi himself. The Shechina, so to speak, speaking from him. We need to understand this as well. And one more Ma'amar Chazal. This is a Zohar. The Zohar says that there are certain people that in the Torah they have a name. The name is repeated one time after the other. HaKadosh Baruch Hu calls them, for example, by Avraham Avinu Bahar Moriah, and he says Avraham, Avraham. Double lashon, some lashon chibo. Double lashon, Avraham, Avraham. Moshe Rabbeinu has the same. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaks to Moshe Rabbeinu by the snare, he says to him, Moshe, Moshe. What the Zohar says is this is a chilek. By Avraham, Avraham, there's what they call a psik tame. There's some sort of division. Yeah, you won't see in the Sefer Torah, but in a Chumash, you'll see there's a line there because the part of the grammar is that there's a psik. There's a something that's dividing the two names. Avraham, psik, like a break, and then Avraham. But Moshe wasn't. It was Moshe, one after the other. What is the meaning? What's the difference between these two things? So Reb Chaim Volozhin explains. Reb Chaim Volozhin explains. It goes into idea what a name is. What is the name? We're calling them Moshe, Avram, Avram, a name. A name describes the essence of the thing. We know that Moshe, that Adam Arishin called all the animals the names. All the animals passed in front of Adam Arishin, and he gave them each a name. If you look at the Psukim, it's Beduik in the Psukim, that he didn't just randomly give them a name in order to be able to refer to them at a later stage. He called them a name. What the Metzias, he looked into the deepness and the should we say, what the Shoresh of it, what the root of this animal is in the spirituals, in the Olam Haruchnius. Where is it coming from? Where is it from the higher worlds? How has it evolved until we see it in our world that we have in our physical world? He understood the Shoresh, the tiefness, the deepness inside of where it's coming from. And because they gave it the name which is past, which fits with its intended use of creation, and from where it stems, from where it comes from the higher worlds. There's so many, every person's name. Every person has a name. It's not just a way to call him to attract his attention. You know, Jack, I want to speak with you. Say, we call him Jack. You know that when I say Jack, he turns around. But as a Yiddish name is a lot deeper than that. It's actually described his essence. They talk about that a father gets a certain amount of baby divine inspiration, some sort of Ruach HaKodesh, when he calls his son at the bris. And the idea is that the name is actually describing his essence. So he says like this, Chaim Volozhin says like this, every person is a neshama. The neshama comes from Tachas Kisei HaKovet, from the highest of the highest places in the spiritual worlds, Ba'olam HaRuchni. Now it evolves all until we have a physical body, until the neshama sits in a physical body. But the physical body is just holding the most bottom part, the lowest part of the neshama. To have this person, he's somewhere really, he's shoresh, his root, he's very, very in the higher worlds. But his root, that's where his root is, but he evolves until he comes to a physical existence in this world. And he says that the body, just so to speak, covers the bottom part of the neshama. The lowest part of the neshama. That's why the body is sometimes referred to as a na'al, as a shoe. Just like the shoe only covers the bottom part of the guf, of the person's body, so to the guf himself, the whole guf, is only covering the most lowest part of the neshama. It's like a shoe. That's how Moshe Rabbeinu, you find the lashon shal me'olecho ma'araglecho. When he's speaking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, take off your shoe. It doesn't only mean your physical shoes. It actually means get rid of your physicality. You go to what's been mafsik, so to speak, dividing and separating you from attaining the greatest closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the greatest spiritual levels that you can reach. You being our physicalities and our bodies, so to speak, all the things that goes with our body and our cravings and all that kind of stuff. That is mafsik. To be able to treat the closest to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shal na'olecho. Take off your shoes, get closer, and get rid of not only your shoe, of your physical shoe, but actually your body itself. His son, Rav Chaim Lodz's son, points out that by Yeshua, when it says there also by Yeshua, that the student of Moshe Rabbeinu, it doesn't say shal na'olecho, it says shal na'alcho. Na'alcho is Loshen Yochid. So to speak, only one shoe, meaning just maybe the physical shoe. Obviously it means more than that, but the idea is that he didn't have that same madrega as Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu could achieve a much greater closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that he could take away all boundaries, he could take away all mechitzas, anything that's dividing him and Rabbeinu, he had the madrega to get rid of that completely. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was telling him, you can get rid of all your shoes, though, your physical shoe and your physical body as well. Other Nevi'im couldn't do that. Even Avram Avinu, Moshe Rabbeinu was a greater Madrega than this in Avram Avinu. Says Rav Chaim Volozhin, that's the difference between Avram, Psik, and Avram. There's a little Hevdel, there's a little pause in between, and as opposed to Moshe. The name, the first name, is the name in the root. Avram, Moshe, that's your root name upstairs in the Olam HaSelyon, in the higher worlds, in the greatest spiritual dimensions. Then I say your name a second time. I'm referring to your whole neshama, from the top till the bottom. I'm speaking to you completely, to your whole neshama, to your whole person. And then I say the second name, that's the lowest name. That's the lowest part of the neshama. Now, if you're Moshe Rabbeinu, there's nothing that is dividing your greatest, highest root point of your neshama to the lowest, because there's no physicality which is disturbing you. You've conquered all that. You're beyond that. Even Avraham Avinu, wasn't as great in this level as Moshe. He had a psik. Avraham, your shorish root neshama upstairs, Olam HaSelyonim, in the higher worlds. But when I say Avraham, and I go all the way to the bottom, there's some sort of hefsek, there's some sort of division. It's not completely the same madrega, that you've completely made a connection, that there's no division between you and the spiritual world. So, we're talking about the greatest level that can be reached by a human being, Moshe Rabbeinu. Where is this coming from? Where does this come from? It comes from a middle form, Anovo. Anovo, humility, being humble, negating the complete self, only want to do what the right thing is to do. That's Anovo, Anovo. So, the Gemara in Chulin tells us that Gedoyle Mash Nema Avram Avinu, Nema Moshe, greater, more than what it said about Avram, it says about Moshe. Avram said about himself, Anoichi Ofor Ve'efer, I am like dust and like ash. That was his way of expressing his humility. And it's not just a nice words of expression, I'm like a piece of paper. It wasn't just a nice idiom or a metaphor. I'm like dust. He was explaining exactly where he was all. And this, I feel like dust and ash. And Moshe Rabbeinu said, Aaron HaKohen also said, V'nachnu mo. V'nach, and us, who are we? Mo, what? He was, the Klal Yisrael were complaining about the mon. Moshe Rabbeinu said, you're complaining against me? I mean, Aaron, what are we? We're nothing. There's not even physical object to which we can be compared, because he had negated his physicality completely. And that's the madrega of anivus that Moshe Rabbeinu attained. That Moshe was honored mikol adam. This is by negating completely any kind of own interest. He had completely negated that, and therefore he reached his great madrega. So the madrega comes from a middah of humility, of who am I, what am I, v'nachnuma, in order to achieve the greatest closest HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he's completely vatal his own will. Okay, let's try and speak a few minutes about, that's Moshe Rabbeinu, let's try and speak a few minutes about David HaMelech. David HaMelech, was the second king of Israel. He was the second king. Shaul HaMelech was the first king. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was displeased with Shaul HaMelech, and he called Shmuel HaNovi, Samuel the prophet, and he said to him, I would like you to please go and anoint a son in the family of Yishai. Okay? David was the son of Yishai. Is HaKadosh Baruch Hashem sends Moshe Rabbeinu, Hashem says, Shmuel HaNovi, go and anoint a son of Yishai. He doesn't tell him which son it is. Yeah? So the Pasuk says like this, Shmuel does like Hashem tells him, the prophet does like what Hashem tells him. He comes to Beis Lechem, that's the city where Yishai lives. People get scared, the Novi's coming, the prophet's coming, they come to greet him, they're shaking a little bit, and they greet him. Shmuel announces, yes, I've come to offer a sacrifice. Everybody gets ready, and he says, Yishai gets ready, his children, because he's called, we have to add a few of the other parts of Tanakh, plus a few Midrashim, exactly what happened over there. But the idea was that Shmuel says, come Yishai, I want you to get ready with all your sons, because I have to, one of them is going to be anointed yet to be the Mashiach, to be the Melech. So Yishai calls his sons, and when he comes, Vayar es Eliyov. Shmuel sees the oldest son of Yishai. His name is Eliyov. And Shmuel, when he sees him, puts his eyes, sets his eyes upon this boy or this man who's the son of Yishai, he says that he is convinced that this must be the Melech. He sees on him the qualities like a prophet can see. Hashem says to him, Shmuel says, Ach neged Hashem Mishichoy. I must be facing here the one who needs to be anointed. Shmuel, Al Tabet Al Maria. Hakadosh Baruch Hu tells Shmuel, no, you got the wrong one. But through the psukim, basically, the next son of Yishai comes along. Shmuel is convinced maybe he's the right one, and Hashem tells him, no, he's the wrong one. And the third son, and he goes to all seven sons of Yishai. And Hakadosh Baruch Hu tells him, no, each one is no good. So then Shmuel asks Yishai, do you have Hatamu Hanorim? Vayom Shmuel Yishai, Hatamu Hanorim, have all your children finished? Now the Pasuk doesn't say that, but the Medrash adds on that actually Yishai answered Tamu. Yishai asked, yes, no more. I have no more children. Yeah? Vayom, and then Shmuel asked again, are you sure? There must be. And then he says, Yeah, you're right, I have one more. He's a shepherd. You know, he's out in the field there looking after the sheep. Okay, we'll call him along as well. So, of course, the question is, Yishai looks like he's completely denying the existence of one of his children. What's the story over here? Okay, so the explanation is built on another medrash which says that Yishai was at the time, you know, like we learned in Megillas Rus in Shuls not long ago, Yishai was still had this problem of Moyovi v'loy Moavis. Yeah, that a Moavi, a lady from Moav, whether she's allowed to get married to a Jew or not, and Rus got married to Boaz. We can't get into the whole the different explanations on the whole idea, but let's take it for now that it was some sort of problem with it. It wasn't clear or some sort of problem with it. So if Rus gets married, Rus is from Moav, from the nation of the Moav, and they may not get married to a Jew, and she's married to Boaz, all the children are problematic. And Yishai already had seven sons, and he was still not so happy that his children were not necessarily, or perhaps a psulim, they're not completely regular, a regular Yid, a regular Jew. So therefore he separated from his wife. And he was already separated from his wife for 3 years, no more children. And then he came up with an idea. Also, it needs a lot of explanation, the idea itself, but the idea was that a slave woman who has a child, a slave woman, a shifcha, kananus, has a child, there's no yichus for the father. There's no yichus to the father. The child will be a slave like the mother, and there's absolutely no connection to the father. So Yishai said like this, if I get married to my slave woman, have a child, and then I free this child, and this child's no more a slave anymore, then this child will be a regular Jew. It's true, we have a problem, it's not really Meyuchas anymore to Yishai himself, he's not really related, so to speak, to Yishai. But even so, Yishai has still brought a neshama to the world, which would be a regular Yid, without the problem of coming from a Moyavi. And so he told his slave woman to prepare herself. And some sort of Rochel and Leah story happened over here. The Shivcha realized this is not an ideal situation that Yishai should put himself in. Yishai should not be involved in such a thing. And Yishai was one of the four people who died without sinning. The four people in history who didn't do a single sin, a single chet. Okay? He was one of them. He was one of the greatest. And Shifcha understood this is not for Yishai to do. His slave woman understood this is not for him to do. So he called his wife, who has been away for 3 years, and she said, you know, when the lights are off, we'll exchange places. And that's what happened. A few months later, we see the wife Yishai sees, and everybody sees Yishai's wife is pregnant. And of course, everybody suspects her that of Ashes is, she's a married woman, who Yishai knows hasn't been living with her, as far as he knows anyway, and she's pregnant now, is the Vlad, the child that she's carrying, is a mamza. Would be completely also to Lova Bekal Hashem, won't be at all get married. When this was found out, this was the greatest embarrassment of a family like Yishai. One major says, Yishai was Rosh Sanhedrin. Great things about Yishai. He has a wife, a child in his family, is going to be a mamza. But, cut a long story short, Dovid HaMelech grew up thinking himself and his whole family and treating him like a mamzer. In such a way that they wanted to hide the embarrassment, they put him as a shepherd out in the field, nobody should ever see him, nobody should ever know him, nobody should ever come and inquire about him, who is this guy, where is he from? And was like, he never ate dinner with the family. There was some even learned, perhaps Yishai kind of like, perhaps HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take care of this mamzer in the field where it's a bit dangerous and lions and bears might attack him and get rid of this embarrassment and this problem we have in the family. The Psukim tell us, Dovid HaMelech says himself, that he was attacked by a lion, he was attacked by a bear, he killed them. Okay? So, and he lived like this. And for 28 years, because he was 28 years old when he was anointed as a king. So here we have, come back to our story, Shmuel comes to Dovid HaMelech's family, and he says to them, Sister Yishai, tell me, get all your sons together and so on. My sons together. David, he's not even my son. He's not even my son. For my wife, for me. He's no shaykh, he has no connection to here. And plus, I'm bad. The Novi is going to find out what's happening over here. Anyway, when he says to him, anybody finished? He says, yeah, I finished. I haven't got any more kids. I've got no more children. Shmuel says, no, there must be somebody else. So the Yishai understood this, and I got to admit. Anyway, so they call him Dovid HaMelech. Dovid. And there's a little sefer called Vayev Yosef by Reb Leibel Friedman. And he describes a little bit of a scenario. He just paints a bit of a picture for us. And he says, you can imagine if Dovid HaMelech, he gets called, he probably went from the, changed his clothes a little bit. He's now got a family feast with the prophet and so on. And he comes from out in the field where nobody ever talks to him. And he probably changes his clothes and he comes inside. And the hall over there, there's a bit of a banquet. Probably nobody stands up for him. Probably nobody's very interested in him. I mean, the whole family treated him as an outcast, so to speak. And all of a sudden, Shmuel comes over to him. You know, the oil that Shmuel was holding in his hand began to bubble. He was excited, couldn't wait to go into David's head. Yeah, and he anoints him. In one second, there was a whole turnabout in relationship. From the lowest of the low to the highest of the high. Yeah, and the mother Nitzeves plus Adoel is the number. This is the name of the mother of Dovid HaMelech. She kept this thing a secret her whole life because the last 28 years. Because if she would go and tell Yishai, by the way, if this child is from you, she first of all would embarrass Yishai because Yishai, I know what your plan was. You plan to get married to the slave woman and so on. That would embarrass Yishai. Plus, she would embarrass the Shivcha because the Shivcha had told over the secret. From Yishai, Yishai might not be so happy. Well, I confided in you and you went and told my wife. So for 28 years she lived with a secret, not telling her, because maybe she would embarrass somebody. For little embarrassment she was willing to live herself, and treated like an Ashes Ish, she was Mazane. And this moment, she must have been, the Pasuk, Evan Moasa Boinim Hoiso L'Roish Pino. Perhaps she would have said this as a Pasuk. Evan Moasa Boinim, that stone which everybody treated like dirt, that with it. Hoysol or Roish Pin, all of a sudden we've got such a great Madrega. Yeah, and they must have answered, Me'is Hashem Hoysol Zois, Sinifloss Be'inen. This is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's completely covered from us. We cannot understand it. We have no idea. We didn't know anything about it. Right? And then, Dovid HaMelech probably got up to the podium. Shmuel HaNovi, the prophet, on his right side. Yishai, the greatest, on his left side. Nobody sat down until Dovid sat down. When they benched, probably Dovid HaMelech, he took the question, he benched. And when they finished, Dovid HaMelech went back to the flock of sheep. And he composed the Tehillim, which says Shir HaMalos LeDavid. Loi Hashem, Loi Gova Libi, VeLoi Romu Einai. Says the Medrash, Dovid HaMelech is speaking about, talking about this moment. At this moment, when I was anointed and king, when it was all turnabout, I was treated like the worst of the worst, and all of a sudden, everybody looked at me and said, wow, look, it's Dovid. At that moment, Loi Gova Libi. My heart was not haughty. I didn't feel boastful. I had nothing. Didn't feel nothing. Not anything personal. A bit of COVID, a bit of honor that I received, a bit of recognition, something. Absolutely nothing. Loi gov alibi. This is his testimony of David HaMelech. I went straight back to the sheep. And you should know that all those 28 years that David HaMelech was treated like that, he must have also not have one drop of kepeda, or even a little bit of anger or resentment to anybody in his family. Not even for one moment, because the older son of Yishai, Eliyahu, the reason why he was not fitting to become king, really he was, when Samuel or Shmuel looked at him, he really was. He was looking at good tzchayot. This guy who could have been the king. But you know why not? Was because one time he got a bit angry with David. And for good reason. He was trying to protect David. But he got angry with him. For that one instant in his whole life, he lost the kingship. He couldn't be a king anymore. Okay? So if David HaMelech one time was a bit angry, was a bit upset, said a bad, he couldn't be king anymore. A king has to be completely, so to speak, there's nothing in it for me. And you know, to add to it, fascinating, when David HaMelech was chased off his throne by his own son's revolution, Avshalom, he had a son Avshalom, who took over the king, and David HaMelech ran away. He's one of the guys who were going, one of the fellows who were going with David, took the Oren Hashem. He took the Oren, the Ark. And David HaMelech told him, go and return it. Told him, give it back. He said to him, if Hashem wants me to see that Oren again, he will let me see. And if not, they're not. That means, the Lord said, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu will want me again to be the king, hineini, I'm ready. And if not, hineini too, whatever he wants. I'm willing to give up that whole kingdom if that's what he wants. That's the Madrega from HaMelech. That's the Madrega of David HaMelech. I don't want to equate that a little bit somehow to what Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu is nothing from me. Shechina medaberes b'greishu. Epes inside it from me. It's something on my own that I want. It's nothing. I just let the Shechina should just speak from me. Whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu should be passed through me, just like through a see-through window. But there's nothing of me, nothing of me in essence over there. And this is the manig of when you're choosing a king of Klal Yisrael, David HaMelech. It's absolutely nothing, you know, covered before, no after. You want to take it away, you want to give it to me. So, we have 3 more minutes. Let me add maybe one last point. Try and say as quick as we can. Dothan and Aviram. This is a beautiful, whole beautiful piece in itself. Another time. But just, let's just say the point. Dothan and Aviram, according to the Rabbi Shulei Diskin, brings rise to it. And it's built on a Targum Innocent Ben Ezeel. He said that Dothan and Aviram were shoitrim in Mitzrayim. That means that they were in charge, like a sort of couple. In the second order, the idea they are Jews in charge of other Jews, and the Mitzrim would beat those Shoitrim. In order to Shoitrim, these police, Jewish policemen, would beat further along the rest of the Jews to get them to work. Okay? Now it says in the Medrash that these Shoitrim, these middlemen, these Jewish middlemen, did not beat the rest of the Jews. They didn't hit them. They didn't hurt them. They themselves got beaten up, and they didn't pass it on. And because of that, they became a Gvalda Madrega, they became from the Shim Zakanim, the 70 elders who got prophecy, were from these Shoitrim. See, he says that Dosan and Aviram were the one that was with two of these Shoitrim. Dosan and Aviram.
And
who did not? Seemingly would be not. Right, did not. And there's a lot to talk about it, but the one point I want to bring out was that these Shoitrim would seem to be the representatives and the leaders of the Jewish people in Mitzrayim. We do find that they went into Paro when the work was overloaded, they got too much work to do, the Shoitrim went to negotiate with Paro. So the representation, the leaders of Klal Yisrael were these Shoitrim. If you look at the Parashat Shemot, you'll see it's in the Psukim how it's Meduik, that Dosan Aviram were just there at the time when they met Moshe Rabbeinu, but it seemed to me these people were the Dosan Aviram and the rest of the Shoitrim were kind of leaders on behalf, a representation of behalf of the Jewish people. If so, when they saw Moshe Rabbeinu living in Midian for 40 and more, yeah, but he was 80 years old, so he was 12 years old perhaps when he left. The Midrashim, many years in Midian, he wasn't saved. He comes one time after many years, he walks into Mitzrayim and says, guys, I'm going to take you out. And he goes to negotiate with Paroi. And he makes things worse for them. Comes with Dosan Aviram, they feel slighted. What's it? We've been suffering for the Jewish people. We've been leading. We've been pleading on their behalf. We've been representing them. And you coming along. And they could not bear to see that Moshe Rabbeinu was going to be the leader. Okay, that the Targum Innocent Ben Ezeel learns that they did not even leave Mitzrayim with Moshe, with Klal. They stayed in Mitzrayim until close to Kriyas Yam Suf. Targum Innocent Ben Ezeel. So again, the thing was, these people are leaders, but when it comes to somebody else who's going to be the leader, they get slighted, they lost their position, this they cannot handle. So when Korach is looking for candidates for his revolution against leadership, Dothan Avinu are prime candidates of people who feel slighted. It's Vayikach Korach. Vayikach, he took. That's the word, he took. He's there to look, what can I take? Can I get a hold of some sort of power? Can I be at least equal power? Take away from somebody else. And our leaders, Moshe, nothing from me. I'm willing, whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I let HaKadosh Baruch Hu speak through me. David HaMelech, you want to take it away, you do whatever you want. Whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from me. That's the leaders of Klal Yisrael. Moshe Enkin, Korach, Dothan, they episode, you want something, you want to take something for yourself. This is already a problem. They cannot be the leaders of Klal Yisrael.
Well,